For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
You, his word would affect you, his word would bring something into your life that you would leave this place with. Pray that prayer. Sincerely pray that prayer. Mean it with all your heart and say, Lord, this morning speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I have learned from Bishop recently from the camp, and you can carry it beyond our camp, is to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Because the Holy Spirit is God. And I believe that the more of the Holy Spirit we have in our lives, the better we'll become. Do you believe it? Yes. I don't know about it, but I need more. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the... Anytime I feel like I have hit a hard place, my prayer now is, Lord, give me more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear. He is a spirit of boldness. He's a spirit of sound mind. Isn't it? Yes. So let's pray and ask God for more of the Holy Spirit before we go on this morning. Say, Lord, give me more of the Holy Spirit. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice and pray. Say, Lord, give me more of the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that even our earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to us. How much more God? How much more God? God will give us his Spirit. God will give us the Holy Spirit when we pray for the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about just praying in tongues. I'm talking about praying that the Holy Spirit will be upon you to influence every area of your life, the way you parent, the way you are a student, the way you work, the way you are a nurse, the way you are a doctor, the way you are a pharmacist, the way you are, whatever you do, your profession, that even the Holy Spirit would influence you. The Holy Spirit will be upon you. Come on, pray that prayer. Say, Lord, more of your Holy Spirit, more of your Holy Spirit, more of the 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 Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the principles I've come to learn these days is that I think there is power, or there's a great effectiveness in praying repeatedly about something. It's like you're hustling God. In fact, God wants us to hustle him. Yeah. And I believe that there's nothing that God will not withhold from you when you persistently stay with it and stick with it, so long as it's in the word, so long as it's his will. This is the assurance that we have in him, that whenever we ask of him anything that is according to his will, he heareth us. isn't it? So when you pray about something that you know is God's will for you and you persist on it, yeah, it may not look like it's being done, but when you stick with it, yes, it's just a matter of time. It will manifest. Amen. It will manifest. So lift up your voice one more time and pray and say, Lord, give me more of the Holy Spirit. Give me more of the Holy Spirit. Give me more of the Holy Spirit. Give me more of the... In fact, tell God, God, I will not stop praying about the Holy Spirit. I will not stop asking you about the Holy Spirit because I want more of him every day. Jesus, yes. Come on, lift up that voice. Just 30 more seconds. Matosa palima borianda. Yes, more of the Holy Spirit. Anoint us. Pour your spirit upon us. The spirit of boldness. The spirit of even not being fearful. The spirit of even a sound mind. A sound mind. The sound mind. The ability to make right decisions. The ability not to walk into the traps of the enemy. The ability to walk in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. A sound mind. A sound mind. Yes, yes. Yes, according to your word, Father, pour your spirit upon us in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you one more time for this morning. Thank you for your presence. The Bible says that when we gather like this here, anywhere, you are in our midst. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for angels even amongst us. Thank you for your power even amongst us. Thank you for the presence even of the Holy Spirit even amongst us. We pray that we will leave this place this morning with a great impartation, influenced by the Holy Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name. And all the saints shall say amen. Amen. And Father, thank you for all these offerings. Put your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. Amen. Well, this morning I have a baby dedication in our Lancaster branch. So I'm going to try and preach to you very briefly and then I'll be gone. I don't do baby dedications in all the branches, but this is the pastor's child, baby himself, so I have to go. Amen. Either I go or want somebody else goes, lady pastor or something, but I have to go. So I'm going to go. Amen. Well, we've been talking about the act of following. Amen. The act of following. Ask your neighbor, are you understanding following? Yes, every one of us must develop the act of following. Find someone that you can follow. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6, 12. Proverbs 13, 7 is a very powerful verse. Hebrews 6, 12. It says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So God wants us to be followers of them. Say followers of them. So following is a scriptural thing. Amen. Yeah, it's wisdom to follow. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. When you want to do something, find someone who has been successful at it. And just follow the person. Yeah. I have tried to follow. In fact, I've not been to any Bible school. I've not been to any official Bibles. Everything I know is through following Bishop. Yeah. I follow him. I followed him for years. And sometimes I've even followed what he is following. Yes. For years. That's all I've been doing. I've not been to any school of teaching. I've not been to any school of the prophets. Everything I've had is through following. I see and I follow. I've heard Bishop Oyedepo say many times that you know, when he started ministry, he just looked for biographies of great men of God. Yes, biographies of great men of God. And just read them. And then he told his colleagues that he would be decades ahead of them. And it's true. Wow. Yeah. Just by starting off with learning from people who have already done it. It's wisdom to do what, you know, somebody who has been successful at something has done in the past. And it's foolishness to do what they didn't do. It would be foolishness on my part to do something that Bishop is not doing. if I want to be as successful as he is. Are you understanding? So following, he says we should be followers of them. Follow, it's an active word. Yes. It's not a passive thing. You can't just follow someone by just lying in bed. You can't follow someone by just, you know, just chilling. Ask your neighbor, are you the chilling type? Yeah. When you are following somebody, you actively look at the person. Stay awake. Yes. I don't know where this theory came from, that Christianity or charismatism or charismatic Christianity, it's an easy walk. It's not an easy walk. It's a lot of hard work. Amen. Yeah. This one of the first things I told my wife as we woke up, I said, Charlie, we have to pray more. Yes, we have to pray more. Yeah. We have to pray more. If we want to advance, it's work. Following men, following men, following them. When I say men, I don't mean just a gender men. Yeah, following them, both male and female. What they have done. We follow their tracks. When they turn left, we turn left. When they turn right, we turn right. Yeah. One of the funny things, Pastor Eugene, that I've found with pastors is that in following, sometimes you don't even follow with wisdom. Yeah. You see, if you're following somebody like Bishop in ministry, for example, you have to do the things that he did when he was at your level. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes, that's following. When the church was at a certain age, he was doing certain things. When the church was at a certain age, he was also doing certain things. So those are the things that you follow. Wow. Yeah. In fact, recently he was even explaining it, that following, it is a spirit behind it. Not just, hey, he did this, so I do this. He did this. You see that a lot of the things may not even work for you. In fact, sometimes a lot of the things may even drive people away. Yeah, Bishop can stand and blast people. Say, no, baby, baby, baby. I can't do that. If I do that, you leave the church. Yeah. Even when I've tried a little bit of, people have been upset with me. I'm not going to do that part. Or Bishop has been screaming or maybe, you know, telling people. I've watched a service where one of the pastors was getting up when he was at the crucial peak of preaching. And he screamed from the pulpit, sit down. He mentioned the person's name. Yeah. If I did that to you, say, I came to church and pastor screamed at me, Reverend Priyan, I can't do that. Because I'm not at that level. Maybe one day when I'm also at another level, I can scream at Pastor Kobe and say, sit down. Do you see? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God wants us to follow. It is key to follow. All right, so we went into learning the principles of following. The principles of following. The principles of following. Turn to your neighbor and say, the principles of following. By the way, I'm just preaching from a book, Act of Following. This one. All right? That's what I'm preaching from. It's one of the chapters. Now, we looked at two basic principles, isn't it? The first one we looked at was, it may be the first or the second, is that you, principle number one, we said, you can be successful in following a man of God if you follow his faith and patience. His faith and his patience. Do you see? Look at this verse again. It says, but followers of them who through faith and patience, faith and patience. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith and patience. Say it one more time. Faith and patience. Faith follows, or patience follows faith. It's not all faith, but faith and patience. Yeah. The fact that you did it yesterday and today and tomorrow, you do it tomorrow, or you did last week, the whole of last week, does not necessarily mean that there will be manifestations next week. It's true. You know, recently, actually, I don't know whether it was a new message or, because I'm listening to one of the old camps. If I intend to have a camp and share that camp. every camp I would ever have would be camps that Bishop has shared. I just soak it in and just share with you again. So we all get revived. And I heard Bishop talk about how at the point in his life, he could not afford a can of corned beef. You've heard him before. Yeah. He couldn't afford. I mean, he wants corned beef. Ask your neighbor that, you know corned beef? The beef in the corner. By the way, if you want to really taste corned beef, try Exeter. Man. The real deal. I don't know why canned meats, even sardines. Nothing like Titus. Titus sardine. Titus, yeah, no one is sardine. It means that Titus is the real deal. In fact, those of you not from Ghana, those of you from Ghana should buy Titus. Give somebody a tin of Titus. Can of Titus sardines. If you eat Titus, you won't like bumblebee. You eat I'm not proven. I don't have any shares in Titus. Yeah. But anyway, let's be serious. So he said that he could not afford a can of corned beef. Can you imagine it? Yeah. But today he can have so much corned beef. Yeah. He even mentioned that particular preaching. If I don't know what I said, one of the old preachers or the current preacher was listening to or something. I don't even know. Yeah. But he mentioned that even now, at that time when he was preaching at camp or whatever, that sometimes by the time he gets home, people have brought him cartons of corned beef. Wow. Yeah. Because the ministry blesses. Yeah. I'm blessed by the ministry. Amen. It's true. I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed. People give me things even without me asking. Oh, wow. It's true. Sometimes it's almost scary. Yeah, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Yesterday, I was being a lady person when we were at the outdoor info, Nana Kwame. Somebody had, we were talking to one of the younger pastors, quite a number of them were there. And I told lady, but tell him what we have been through. Yeah. You look at someone and all you see and you want to follow is the person's wealth or the person's doing well. No. You don't know what he has been through to be where he is. He had to develop the ministry with faith and patience. Yeah. This morning I was telling my son Gilbert as he is going to church. He passes one of the first love churches in one of the campus. I was telling him that believe. Everything is believing. And then when I go, I'm going to add that patience also. Yeah. You have to believe. And for a long time. And I was telling Lady Pastor that when we started this church, I think one of the things that helped greatly, we just embraced. They said, go and start a church. We just went. Wow. Yeah. We didn't even think, will it work? I just believed that it would work. And I just took what we've been taught and just kept doing it for a long time. And it's still working. Amen. Are you understanding? Yes. So it is faith and patience. Yeah. I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about the wealth that he has. In fact, if you hear his tithe alone, you'll be intimidated. You see, because tithe is supposed to be at least 10%. See, so whatever he gives you, 10% is this. Then the 100%, what will it look like? You extrapolate it and you see that it's a lot of money. Yeah. But life to him was not like that all the time. You see? And that is what I need to follow and you need to follow. That it was not just faith. We charismatic people, it's all faith. Charlie, I believe. I believe. You believe. You do believe me. I believe. We believe. Faith, Charlie. And then the confession. Confession. It's not just that. It also has to do with patience. If I sometimes, listen to this carefully, we make our impatience, opposite of patience, spoil our faith. So whereas you are in faith for a while, then you become impatient. Then it scratches out your whole faith. Because now you are so impatient that you move out of faith. You change your location, you move somewhere, and you do something. You see, I've not hunted for like 3 years. But this past week, I had a few couple of hours here and there to hunt. I think I did it 3 times. You know? And please don't be offended if you don't like hunting. Me, I love it. Do you understand? We all have something that we like. You like something I may not like. I'm not upset with what you don't. But it involves sitting quietly. Do you understand? And waiting for a deer to pass by. You see, and because I haven't done it for a long time, you know, the first year I went, I sat the wrong way, and then about 5 of them appeared behind me. And they are very sensitive to noise. They don't see well. It said that they see in 2 shades of color, gray and black. You know, that's all. So if you stand still, that's why you can blend with a tree, and they won't even see you. But noise and smell, you see. So I have some tree stands, so I climb and I'm up there. So they don't look up. So when they look up, it's only because of noise. So by the time I hold, they've just left. Then I went there subsequently for 2 times. I didn't even see, their shadow did not come near. I said, hey, that place. But I'm patient. Oh, ho, ho. I said, I am patient. They will come. If it takes going to sit at that same spot for 4 more times, Charlie, I'll have the meat. Are you understanding? So it's a lot of patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Yeah. You are paying your tithe. You've paid your tithe for 3 years, 4 years, and nothing happened. Wait. First of all, who even told you that nothing happened? Yes. You are judging by your definition of nothing happened. You don't know what God has saved you from. Yeah. You have no idea. Because he says when you pay your tithe, he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You have no idea the devils that have been rebuked automatically without your involvement. It's different from you binding devils and casting out devils. But this one, he says, when you pay your tithes, I will be just rebuking the devil. He says, hey, take your hand off. Take your hand off him. You don't know how many times. You don't know. You are not even aware that perhaps it was even your pain of tithe that is why you are even alive today. Yeah. You have no idea. So keep paying. I said keep paying. Keep paying. Do you think keep preaching? I missed it. Yeah. Keep paying. Yeah, that's why I'll keep preaching. Keep doing it. Whether you respond or you don't respond. If I went by you not responding, I would have stopped preaching many years ago. Because naturally, a lot of you discourage me. I'm not lying. Yeah, because I've preached for you years and I can't see fruits. But I'll keep preaching. Yeah, I'll keep preaching. No matter what I go through, I will keep preaching. I'll keep preaching. I'll keep preaching. Yeah. Every morning, early morning, Stephanie would tell me the songs that she has lined up for the service. And then I would okay them. When I saw one of them, she said, keep preaching. I said, yes. I'll keep preaching. Amen. Amen. Somebody say faith and patience. Faith. Say faith and patience. So a good principle to follow is to follow the faith and patience of them who have inherited the promise. They inherited it. I mean, when you look at Bishop, you can see he's inherited some promises. Oh, yeah. I mean, the man is at the point in his life that I'm sure that whatever he even opens his mouth to ask God is done. Yeah. Too successful, if there's a word like that. So we are following him. And if you are in this church, follow him. Amen. So that's principle number one. Then the second principle is that we must not be slothful. Isn't it? Isn't it? We must not be slothful. You must overcome laziness, slothfulness, and inertia in order to follow someone successfully. Yes. Yes. You must overcome laziness. Laziness will always come knocking at your door. You are not the only one who feels tired sometimes. Sometimes I feel very tired. Eesh. I'm not a machine. I'm not a robot. I feel it. Ask your neighbor that you feel it sometimes. Fitz, you feel it sometimes. Yeah, we all feel it. There are times that I feel like I can't open my eyes to pray. I mean, even as I'm opening it, I have to like open it, take my hand and literally, it's as though the power in the eyelids are gone. Yeah, but we overcome it. Listen, for you to inherit the promises as you follow, you see that all these men, they are not lazy. If you look up, you even wonder, how does he do it? I mean, the man, sometimes I even wonder that how does he even prepare for in between? How does he prepare for his programs? Because it's like he's always on the program. And he's never short of words. I'm soaking in one of the camps. And I'm listening and I'm like, but this is this camp and the one he just preached to us. The theme is the same. I mean, they have different titles, but the main theme is the same about fruit bearing in another way. Sometimes the same scriptures, but even the way the scriptures are explained, it's different. Hey, it's powerful. Do you see? So you see that people like that are not lazy. Yeah. Bishop Ayedepo says he is working hours, is it 13 or 14 hours a day? Or something ridiculous. That's his regular working hours. Yeah. Some of you young people, you can't even work 6 hours a day. It's too much work for you. Yeah. I'm tired. But you're talking about a 60-plus-year-old, I think Bishop Ayedepo must be more than 60-year-old person that is working teens, 17, 18, or whatever hours a day. That is his regular. He says that wherever he is outside the world, outside Nigeria, he would always fly back to Nigeria for Sunday morning, everywhere. And that's why he needs a plane. Yeah. If it's Saturday night, he'll fly. Finishes his program, he's on the plane. Yeah. And he's never short of word. I mean, anytime you listen to him, he's sweet, just like Bishop. Never short of words. So you can't be lazy. You cannot. I mean, the rate at which you are going, you won't make it. The laziness is too much. You can't go for cell group, cell center meetings. You can't join prayer line. Even when you're on the prayer line, sometimes it's almost like maybe you should not even be on it because you're on it, but you're not on it. Your phone is somewhere. You are under your comforter. Sometimes we'll be here snoring. Loud snoring. Yeah. If I were somebody who could invent this, I would like to invent snoring that can be identified. So, when we hear, I would say, it's Stephanie. You know, some of the snoring is like you are blowing trumpet. Very happy. Me, me, me. What is it? Some you can, I can be, you can identify, right? Hey, hey. It's so easy, yo. Yeah. Are you here or you've gone home? Lazy. It is because of, please, let's not mix up words. You understand? It's just purely because of laziness. That is why your faith is underdeveloped. That is why you are not getting results. It's just laziness. A lot of us, the only contact we have with God is Sunday. And even a Sunday, you are not even here every Sunday. Uh, A few days ago when I climbed up my tree stand, I put off everything. I said, I also need break. Let me go and hunt a little bit. As I sat there, the Lord began to speak to me. He said, hey, if you can sit quietly and wait for deer for 3 hours. I immediately started speaking in tongues. I turned my hunting into a retreat. Yeah. You see, so don't even come and say, me, I don't have time. Please, you are lying. It's not that you don't have, you are just lazy. Yeah. Yeah. Auntie Evelyn, thank you for clapping for me. As I blast, and I'm not afraid of you. Can't you see that I'm not afraid? I've passed the years that I used to be afraid of. Hey, No, I'm not afraid of you. We have to say what you are lazy. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You don't listen to messages. You don't read books. This year, have we had feed in 5 to 7? It's coming, but we haven't had any this year. Yeah, because we haven't had any 5 to 7, you have not touched any book. The books are nice. In fact, right now, when I read one, it just connects to another. You see, like I'm doing the art of following now. It just linked to this one. Losing, suffering, sacrificing, dying. I can't see the link. That's why I have it with me. And if I have a few minutes, I'll share something small from here with you. Because we haven't done feeding. You haven't touched a book yet the whole year. We are in September. Huh? The third quarter is about to end. Then final quarter. Christmas is around the corner. Pastors, we should start preparing for Christmas. So let's not do this last minute. Then we start having Christmas carols. We can't sing Christmas carols because all the Christmas carols are rusty in our mouth. We can't even. Let's start preparing for it. Yeah. Are you understanding? So let's put away slothfulness and let's put away laziness. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, the third principle of following is that you can be successful in the act of following by copying a man of God who is following Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. You can be successful in the act of following by copying a man of God who is following Christ. Okay? Now, you can apply this principle for other things. You can be successful in following a man of God who is following someone who has followed the person you really want to follow. You see, the key is following God. Do you see? In fact, there's a reason why this is mentioned as the second point in the book, but I started from point number 9 or 8 and came to 9. The key is follow as they follow. So we follow Bishop as he follows Christ. And he's the first one to tell you that the day I stop following Christ, don't follow me. Yeah. And I'll say, the day I come and stand here and I say anything that is outside the Bible, don't listen to me again. Wow. Because the key, the one we are following, all of us, is God. Look at it. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We follow Christ. Christ is the focus. Christ is the one that we are all following. So we follow people following Christ. And the truth is that there are interpreters of God's principles. They are important. Because left to you and I alone, we will spend decades. I mean, you can live 1,000 years and you may not know even half what Bishop Dag knows. Because it's not been given to you. And that is why they are fathers. So as they follow Christ, then we follow them. Are you understanding? So it is following men of God who follow Christ. So that means that you must know who Christ is. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, you cannot properly follow men who follow Christ because you don't know who Christ is. I mean, if you don't know the turnpike, and I say, okay, we are going to Maryland on the turnpike. Do you see? I can take you to Route 32. Okay? And you'll be following me. We are going to Maryland. And we'll be on 32. I hope 32 doesn't take you to Maryland. But I'll be going on 32 for a long time. But you are following me because you have no idea that maybe Maryland is south. And maybe we are going east. Or we are even going north. You are totally clueless. You see, and that is the problem in Ghana and Africa now. When it comes to this prophet, there are people who are following people who are not following Christ. That is why a woman can, you are pregnant, and then you lie down for a prophet, so-called prophet, to lay their foot on. Where have you read in the Bible that, and this sign shall follow them, they shall lay their foot on people? Yeah. Do you see? And that is why, please, are you understand what I'm saying? Don't be ignorant. You must know Christ. You must have a personal relationship with Christ. Yeah. If you have a personal relationship with Christ, maybe even what a man of God may say would may not be right. All right? The Holy Spirit, because of the relationship you have with Christ and God, the Holy Spirit will prompt you that, this thing, it's not right. But you don't have that relationship. And because you don't have that relationship, anyone can stand up and tell you anything they want. Yeah. Tell you there were 14 apostles. Amen. Paul and his wife Silas. Amen. You see, some of you can't. It doesn't even ring. You're not laughing. Because you don't understand what that. Because you don't know that scripture. Paul and Silas. Paul and his wife Silas. How can Paul marry Silas? Maybe these days it could happen, but not in the Bible days. And you sit there and pastors preach to you and they preach all kinds of things. It's one of the signs of the end times. Nikando ele chepre kiliogo rumbili masampangilingra njogiba. So shall it be that in the last days men shall heap unto themselves people who would teach them, and with each ear shall they receive and be happy and shout and scream in the name of the Lord. Yeah. People cannot endure sound doctrine. Yeah, when you are in a church like this, where the word is our thing. We preach and teach the word. You know, such a church will be boring to you, because you don't want a church where the Bible is open and things are being taught, principle upon principle, precept upon precept, and things are being taught. There's teaching. Which in any case is one of the signs of the anointing. Amen. Yes, if you don't know. It's not only falling. It's not only tongues and interpretation. It is not only that. Yeah. Teaching. Because when the Holy Spirit has come, he shall teach. He shall teach. The presence of the Holy Spirit is marked by teaching. 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 Things being explained. Plain line by line, the principles of God being outlined step by step. That is teaching. Wow. I said, wow. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, your relationship with God must come up. Yes. Your relationship with God must come up. Principle number four. I want to mention it before I go. Principle number four. You can be successful in the act of following by choosing to follow God himself. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Last one, and I'm gone. Lady Pastor, get ready to take over. Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." You see that? Be ye followers of God. Say, followers of God. So the ultimate is following God. Yes. We follow men. We follow groups. We follow churches that are following God. But the ultimate is God. We follow God. Turn to your neighbor and say, we follow God. Yeah, we do what God is doing. When God turns left, we turn left. When he says turn right, we turn right. We follow God. We track and follow God. So it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, what did God do? What is God doing that we need to follow? Look at verse 2. It says, and walk in love. Amen. As Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Listen, two things. Stand to your neighbor and say two things. Say two things. Two things that God does is here. Love and sacrifice. Love and sacrifice. Anyone who is following God will love. Anyone who is following God will sacrifice. Yeah. When you say you are following God, one of the hallmarks is that you will love and you will sacrifice. You will love your fellow Christian. You will love, let me bring it home a little bit. You will love the people in your cell group. I tell you, so when I'm driving, my little mind is just scanning the church. Wow. Who hasn't been here for a while? Who can I talk to? And sometimes it's as though the Holy Spirit will just drop. In fact, if I have ever called you randomly, don't think it's randomly. It's because I was led to call you. Yeah. Yes. When I wake up, my mind and my heart is church. Wow. And people. You have to love people. Cell centers, you must be concerned about who comes to your cell center, and you must be concerned about people who come for gathering service on Sunday. Don't just be happy that they came to your cell center during the week, but how about church on Sunday so that they can also be taught again? You'll be concerned. Sacrifice and love. When we love, we'll forgive each other. I was listening to Bishop Paidepo and Kenneth Copeland. His father, one of his fathers is Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was in his church preaching. And he was talking about the excellent spirit. And as he preached, part of it was talking about love. I mean, there cannot be excellence without love. And when he preached about love, I said, hey, I should never quarrel with my wife again. Yeah. Pastor Eugene, he talked about how sometimes, if he said, and everything, he said, me and Gloria, you know Gloria Copeland, me and Gloria. He said, when the least, I just grab her, hey! Even before she even gets the chance to slap me, I grab her. No wonder. If I want Kenneth, Bishop Oedipo introduced, I think it was last year's conference, he introduced him as the prophet who doesn't grow old. And watch him. The energy. Maybe facially he may look like he's older. Yeah. But the energy and the strength and the sweetness of the word that comes out of his mouth is full of anointing. Yeah. Love. I was home alone listening. I said, oh God, help me. Help me to be like that. To love. Yeah. To love. Just to love God and the love of God in me. Not to fight, not to quarrel with people, not to argue with people, not to be annoyed with people. Just love. Sweet. He said, he told Gloria Copeland, he said, hey, because of the Holy Spirit and the anointing, don't let anything come between us. Yes. Yes. And when you see them, I mean, have you ever heard of Gloria Copeland, this, Gloria Copeland and Kenneth Copeland, this, even their children, all sweet. Yeah. Love. So if we want to follow God, are you understanding? It's love. And number two, sacrifice. So what is the mindset of sacrifice? The mindset of sacrifice is the mindset of readiness to die. Wow. Yes. Readiness to die. There are some of us here, we are not even ready to spare a can of milk. Milk. What I'm saying is that if you sat by someone who did not even have anything to eat and you had 10 cans of milk, you would not give one. Yeah, that's the heart of a lot of people. I mean, we're following God. You are not very spiritual. You are not spiritual. Recently, not too long ago, I was arguing with a brother, one of the brothers in the church, and he was telling me, I'm very spiritual. You are not. He said, oh, Reverend. I said, no, you are not spiritual. I'm not spiritual. Spirituality is not with tongues. Spirituality is not with coming and going. Spirituality is not, it's not coming in and out. Spirituality is not, it's not like, you know, you are all over the place. You are this. You are that. No. No. This is it. This is God. God is love. You can almost say, what is love? God. And sacrifice is the proof of the love. And walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given him. So when you love, you give. You see, can I say this and I'll go? Hey, Pastor, are you ready? John 12, 24. Look at this verse. The reason why we are so unfruitful, unproductive, and our lives are as is, without any significant growth. You know what I'm talking? I'm not talking about you having so much of this or that. I'm talking about spirituality, productivity, fruitfulness. All right? It's because of no love and therefore no sacrifice. Look at this verse. These are the words of Jesus, isn't it? Are they the words of Jesus? Are you sure? It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except is a strong word. There's no way around it. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. That corn of wheat. And if you read the preceding verse, you see that Jesus was talking about himself going to the cross. That corn of wheat abided alone. Listen, until you die, you will forever be alone. Yeah. You see, but the sad thing is that somebody died for you to be sitting where you are today. Jesus Christ died for you to be sitting where you are today. And there are people who are still, even brethren, who are working tirelessly to make sure you are alive and still doing well. So he said, except that corn of it falls to the ground, and it dies, it will always be alone. But when it dies, you see, that's why I'm describing and defining sacrifice as even the mindset of the readiness to die. I mean, fortunately or unfortunately or whatever you can call it, the part of the world where we are in, we may not be martyred in any way. Maybe. Do you know the fastest growing church in the world where it is located? Lady Pastor just taught me through a documentary. Iran. Wow. Yes. Not Joel Austin, not Bishop Aedipo, not QFC Lighthouse, not TD Jakes. Iran. Yeah. Should I tell you more? And these underground churches are growing like this. And most of them, you want to hear? Yes. Most of them are pastored by women. Piero, you are shocked. I can see shock in your face. What a shock. Women. They have underground churches. Because you can't have, I mean, if you try, Ayatollah will just finish you. Women. Do you want to hear more?
Yes.
When a person gets born again today, they teach you 1, 2, 3. Hey, Pastor, how long does it take? That same day, you start a church. Some of you are sitting here. You've been taught. You become Papa Shamo. Ask your neighbor that. Do you know Papa Shamo? Blow. Do you know Papa Shamo? Uncle Charles is Papa Shamo. Papa Shamo is the papa who has been around for a long time. Yeah. We're even pushing you. Go to some meeting, South Center, just for the opportunity. I think this is even like a last resort to even go to the next level. Start something. Because the idea is that everyone in the South Center is a potential for a new South Center. That's the goal. Yeah. My eye is even on South Jersey already. I'm thinking, Brother Albert, we have to start splitting you. Because now you are glowing. When you meet, you are 12, 14, 15 and things. No. They have to split you. Half will go there, half will start. And start from somewhere. Yeah. Except it die. You see, you have to be ready to sacrifice. Sacrifice your sleep. Sacrifice your time. This morning when I woke up, I said to Lady Pastor, I have to start learning how to delegate. Yeah, I wish Bishop would write. Bishop, please write a book on the art of delegating. I need one. I need to learn how to delegate and take myself out of a lot of things because it's like my responsibilities everywhere. So I wake up in the morning, I'm like, even tomorrow I'm thinking, what am I going to do? So much to do. So much to do. They're already asking me, what are you coming to do? I mean, what are you doing Monday? It's like it's lined up everywhere I go. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and it dies, it will ever be alone. Yeah. So when you are following God, be ready to die. Amen. Have the mindset of to be spent.
Yes.
Do you understand? Ask your neighbor, do you understand to be spent? Yeah. Some of you love your skin so much. Eesh. You don't want anything to happen to you. No, nothing should change. Me and my wife, my children, my dog, my convertible. You know, this just you are yourself. Yes. Wow. I think I need to go. Lady Pastor, come and finish the service for us.
Amen. Wasn't that powerful? Shall we close our eyes? Let's meditate on what, you know, Reverend is teaching us. It's time for the church to move into another stage, a stage of sacrifice, a stage of dying to self, a stage of wanting to see multiplication. Just pray for yourself this morning. Say, Father, help me. For a long time, I've just loved myself. I've loved my little world. I've loved my little comfort. And it's all about me, I, myself, my family. Everything has just been internal and focused. But the Bible is telling us that except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, just tell God that let's rededicate ourselves. Today we are just telling God that, Lord, we are coming to you and we are totally dedicating ourselves to you. That, Father, use us in whatever way you want. Say, Father, Lord, use me. Let me be spent. Let me actually be spent. That by the time I am ready to live this earth, you know, every energy, every ability, whatever it is, it's been used for your glory. Just pray for yourself in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Pray for yourself and mean it. God is here. The angels are here. They are hearing what you are saying. Mean it. Don't just rattle something, but mean it this morning. Say, Lord, I want to be spent for you. I want to be spent for you. I want to be used for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I everything about me, my money, my life, my wife, my children, my career, everything about me, my car, everything belongs to you, totally dedicated to you for your glory. It is not about me. It is not about what I want and all that, but it's about you and your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, just tell God and just rededicate yourself to him this morning. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Yes, Lord, help us as a church, as your people. Thank you for your angels amongst us. Thank you for your recording angels, oh God. As you are speaking these words of commitment, oh God, it's being written down, oh Father. Help us to remember today that it's a changing point in our lives. Enough of ourselves. Enough of I on the throne. Enough of me and all these worshiping of ourselves and these kind of things, oh God. But help us, oh Father, to be that corn of wheat that falls to the ground and dies so that we don't abide alone, but we become fruitful in your kingdom. And one day, Lord, you say to us, well done, well done, well done. Will you hear those words as you come into the kingdom? Will God look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful, whatever your name is. Or he will say that, depart from me, I don't even know you. I mean, everything about you, you just think of self. Or will it be well done? We want to hear well done. So make a commitment today. Say, Lord, I'm committing myself, my life, my everything, oh God. Everything about me for your glory. Everything about me for your glory. Everything about me for your glory. And ask him to even forgive us for the times that we've lived for ourselves, the useless days that we've just lived for ourselves. And say, Lord, today I am making that cut. Today is the day I'm making that cut in the kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you are also here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't even make a commitment when you don't know Jesus at all. I want to give you that opportunity. I want to say, Lady Pastor, thank God that I'm here today. It is an opportunity. You are being given the greatest privilege to know the greatest person in the whole of the world, and that is Jesus Christ. And you want to make a commitment to him. You want to say, Lady Pastor, this morning I want to just come and say, Lord, I'm starting afresh with you again. Is there anybody here like that? If you are here, I want you to raise your hands up, and I'm giving you that opportunity. I'm telling you, it's a great, great, great opportunity. You may not have it again. You may not even hear this thing anymore. You may go somewhere and, you know, all that you'll be hearing are this and that, but today is a day that you want to make that commitment and walk with Jesus. Anybody here like that? I'm giving you that opportunity. Anybody here like that? Just raise your hands up. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Anybody here like that? Anybody here like that? All right. So we are all born again. That's what we are saying. All right. So say this after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear
We thank you that we know you. Help us, O God, to walk in your ways, to hear your voice, to obey you, to walk according to your principles, to walk in, O Father, that which you've called me to do. Help me to be fruitful in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for Reverend and this powerful message that